Hey, welcome. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3, and we're so glad that you're on our online stream today. Today, we're in week two of a series we're calling Work in Progress, because honestly, we all got some work that we could do better at. We could become a better person, a better parent, a better spouse, a better person at work, whatever. It's just we could always be better. But we're actually looking at, can we be better with God? And today we're going to be talking about the mission of God. That's what we're talking about today. And I want to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever heard something that was too good to be true? Now think about that. Have you ever heard something that was too good to be true? And I was thinking in my life at times where that's happened with me. For example, I remember the time when my wife Krista told me that she was pregnant and that we were going to be parents. That was like too good to be true. For some of you, it's like, we're getting married. We're going to get engaged. We're going to get married. It's going to be awesome. It's too good to be true, right? Here's one that's maybe too good to be true. You won the lotto. You're a billionaire right now. It's amazing. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's just a crazy thing, right? You know, stuff that's too good to be true. Maybe here's another one. Hey, the cat ran away, so now we can get a dog. Woo, that's exciting. You know, things like that. Too good to be true. Can I tell you, when Jesus showed up in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it tells us in Mark, one of the first things Jesus said was something that was too good to be true. What Jesus said was this. He said this, the kingdom of God is near. Now, you got to understand, at this point, the kingdom of God was not near. They thought like God was like away, because between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when you turn the page, that page represents 400 years of God not saying anything or doing anything. So they felt like God was like kind of removed. Suddenly, Jesus appears. And Jesus shows up, and he says that one of the first things he says in Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is near. That is almost too good to be true. But then he tells us what to do afterwards. The kingdom of God is near, that's the good news. But now repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. So here's the good news. Now here's how you can apply it. Here's how you can start living it out, is basically what he was saying. You see, what's interesting is this, is that Jesus' call to repent was not a call to feel sorry for our sins. Let me say it again. Jesus' call to repent was not just a call to feel sorry for our sins. That's not at all. It was Jesus was instead calling us to change our lives. Are we to ask God to forgive us of our sins? Yes. But really what Jesus' call was is for us to change our lives. Let me ask you a question. Today, if you are on our online stream and you say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, can I ask you something? Have you just asked him to forgive you your sins, or have you actually also changed your life? Did you just ask for forgiveness, or did you actually change your life? See, what's interesting is that Jesus actually talked a lot about this. He talked about the kingdom of God. And what's interesting is that before Jesus left the planet, here's what he did. He spoke to his disciples and he was telling them, he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you, disciples, I want you because I've already died and rose again and I'm getting ready to ascend to heaven. I want you guys, my guys that I've poured into for 3 years. I want you guys to go to the then known world at the time. Go to the four corners of the world and tell people about me. Tell them about what I have done, how I lived, how I died, how I rose again, how I'm the Son of God, and how people can have a relationship now with God. I want you to go and do that. And you know what else I want you guys to do? Before Jesus left the planet, he said, you know what else I want you to do? I want you to go around the then known world at the time and start kingdom outposts, churches. I want you to start churches in different places, different areas, so people can gather together and they can be encouraged and they can learn about me and they can learn how to be on mission with me and do what I'm supposed to do. This is what God called us to do. This is what Jesus said before he left the planet. This is the marching orders that he gave to his disciples. So why does the kingdom of God, just kind of play a small role in the thinking of the 21st century? Here in the 21st century, why is it, it's not a big deal? In the first century, it seemed to be, but why is it not today? There's a problem. There's a problem there. Now, granted, let me just be honest with you for a second. Studies tell us this. Studies tell us that there's around 6 billion or so people on the planet, and about 2 billion people claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now, that's one-third of the population of the world saying that they believe in Jesus Christ. And that is awesome, and that is great. So I'm not going to throw stones at the church because I'm a pastor of a church. But here's the thing. We have to be honest and ask whether the 21st century church is as committed to Christ's mission as the church of the first century was. Stop and think about this. Is the 21st century church on mission of what God's calling was for, just like the first century was? I don't know. I mean, here's the thing that I look at. In fact, let me use this as an example. Let me bring up my iPhone. We have so many things in the 21st century they didn't have. We have such advanced stuff. We have advanced stuff as far as communications. I can take this phone, and if I wanted to, I could call somebody across the world right now and talk to them. They couldn't do that in the first century. So we have so much advanced communication, so much travel, so much education that's like they didn't have there, and also medical. I mean, everything in the 21st century is right now is in our hands. If I have a health issue, I can just bring up WebMD and I can look it up for myself. They couldn't do that back then. I even have, through my phone, I can even read the Bible. Back then, they didn't have copies of the Bible, like maybe one person did or something, but people didn't have Bibles back then. We have it right here. Everything is right here. We have more advanced stuff than they ever had, but yet the kingdom spread like crazy in the first century. What's happened to the 21st century? Why is it that it seems like we are not, when I say we, I'm talking about churches, I'm talking about followers of Jesus Christ. Why are we not quite on mission as much as the first century was? What happened? What changed in all that? Can I tell you what I think changed? I think that over time, people begin to think being a Christian is just believing in God. That being a Christian is just believing in God. Can I tell you that is part of the gospel? Gospel means good news. That's part of it, that yes, we can be forgiven, but that's just a dumbed down part. There's so much more. Listen, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, when you ask him for forgiveness, can I tell you that is not the end, that's the beginning. When we come into a relationship with Jesus and we ask him to forgive us of our sins, that's just the beginning. But here's what a lot of people do, and I'm sure it's not you. It's those other people that are watching this right now. But some people think, I am a Christian because I believe in Jesus. I believe he exists. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he is in heaven probably right now. Well, whoop-de-doo, that's great. But what's that going to change your life? Because here's the thing, and if you're a regular C3er, we have talked about this so many times before. The devil believes in Jesus. In fact, scripture tells us that there was a time where the devil came and tempted Jesus when he was here on earth. I mean, the devil knows Jesus. He believes in Jesus. But can I tell you, the devil is not going to heaven. The scriptures tell us where he is going to go, and it's not going to be a good place. And yet here he believes in Jesus. You may believe in Jesus, but is that all it is? Is it just a mental assent? Is it just belief? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Because if so, that's good that you believe. But can I tell you, that's just the beginning point. There is so much more. What, you know what's happened? We have come to a point to where we have more of a diminished view of the gospel. We just think, no, all I have to do is say I'm sorry. Jesus forgives me of my sins. And because now that he's forgiving me of my sins, I am now forgiven, and I now have my fire insurance. So when I die, I don't go to hell. I get to go to heaven, and it's going to be awesome. And I can just live the way I want and do whatever I want for the rest of my life. That is not the gospel. That is not what Jesus came for. That's a dumbed down gospel. Gospel again means good news. That's a dumbed down good news. That is not what Jesus came for. Let me give you something, and this will really, I'm hoping, encourage you to actually think of what I'm about to say, and I'm going to put it in your notes for you. Here it is. There's a difference. Listen, there's a difference between a disciple and a decider. There's a difference between a disciple and a decider. Jesus did not come to make deciders. Jesus came to make disciples. You see, let me give you the difference between these guys, okay? Deciders just believe the right things. That's it. But disciples, you know what they do? Here's what they do. Disciples look to do the right things. Deciders just want to believe. But if you're a disciple, you look to do the right things. The things that God has shown you to do, the things that Jesus did, where we're to model what he did, to love and to care for other people and to help and to share about the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what disciples do. Deciders don't do that. You see, a lot of people think, well, I'm a disciple, but can I tell you, you're going to find out at some point that you are not. And my prayer is this. My hope for you, listen. My hope for you is this. Is that you, if you are just having mental assent, yeah, I believe that there's a God. I believe. Can I tell you that you are a decider? And my hope is that you will realize that you're a decider sooner rather than later. Because scripture tells us what will happen. Scripture tells us in Luke 6:46, Jesus says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Huh. Okay, so apparently Jesus is assuming that if we truly are having a personal relationship with him, if we actually have asked for forgiveness, we are changing our life and we are doing what he is saying. That's what he's assuming right there. But then, listen to this. This one scares me a little bit. In Matthew 7, here is what it says. And I want you to listen to this. This is end time stuff. This is when we're all standing before God. And I'm going to tell you, you will be there. You will be standing there. And God will be judging you just like he will be me. And look at what it says Jesus is going to say. Not everyone who says to me, meaning Jesus, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But listen to this. but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he goes on and he says this, many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we, now listen to what they say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Now, I want you to pause here for a second. They have a pretty good list, huh? They're like, hey, Jesus, we've cast out demons from people. We've healed people and done miracles. This is amazing stuff. And look at what Jesus says to them. Jesus says this, then I will tell them plainly. Listen to what Jesus says to them. I never knew you. I never knew you. So then what's he going to say? Away from me, you, say it with me, evildoers. Now listen, I want you to understand, I do not want anybody right now that's on this live stream to ever hear those words from Jesus on that judgment day. I don't want him to say, I never knew you. Depart, go away, you evildoer. I don't want him to say that to you. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a large group of people that are going to hear that. And I look at this, and why I'm concerned is I look at this and going, those people had a good list. They cast out demons, they healed the sick and stuff like that. Sounds like they were doing good things, right? That's why in our world, in our society, there are people that do good things, but they're not Christians. It's good they do good things to help other people. But what it comes down to is Jesus said, I never knew you. We were never in relationship. We never had camaraderie. I wanted you to follow me. I wanted to be in relationship, but you never came into it. You did good things, but I never knew you. No relationship. Away from me, you evildoers. I do not want you to hear that. God doesn't want to have to say that to you. God wants you to come into relationship with him. Let me take this verse that we just talked about where Jesus says, away from me, I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship. And let me give you an example. With all this pandemic stuff going on, you and I, you've probably done the same as I. You've seen periodically some of the stuff that Governor Inslee has been saying on either on your laptop or your phone or maybe on your TV. It's like every other day or every few days he's talking about something about the pandemic, right? So use that as an example. So since I have seen Inslee on my computer, on my TV talking, as if I believe in Inslee that he is our governor. Now, right or wrong, whatever, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I believe he exists because I've seen him on my computer. I've seen him on my TV, right? So I believe that Inslee exists. I believe that Inslee is the governor of our state because I've physically seen it, right? But here's the thing. If I were to pick up the phone and try to call him or if I were to drive over to the Capitol and say, hey, I want to see Inslee, he's probably going to go, Pastor Mark, Tri-City? I don't know him. Have him go away. You see, because I don't have a relationship with him. I'm not in a relationship. He doesn't know me. I know about him, but I don't know him. Is that the same with you? Do you know about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus? You know about him because you have mental assent. You believe that he exists, but do you know him? Have you come into relationship with him? And as you come into relationship with him, then all of a sudden you begin to follow what he wants you to do, to be on mission with him. You know, it's kind of like, I was thinking about this, how to make an analogy of this. It's kind of like when some people will say the sinner's prayer, right? When some people will come along and they'll say things like, you know, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And like, woo, all right, I said the sinner's prayer, so now I'm saved and everything's great. Huh. Well, think about that. This is kind of similar. This is kind of similar to marriage because, you know, when couples get married, a husband and wife, whoever come to get married, they usually say, I do. Now, by saying I do, does that mean that we're going to have a great marriage? No. And you know that. You know why? Because half of the marriages today end in divorce. So all of those people, 100% of those people got married, said I do, but then half of them didn't. They didn't stay married. They didn't keep their vows. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. See, there's a problem there. See, we can say the sinner's prayer, but that's all it is, and we're not actually being in relationship with our spouse, or in this case, with God, then how can we say that we are a follower of God, that we are a Christian? You said a prayer, but you didn't go any farther. That's just the beginning. You didn't go any farther. And I guess in a sense what I'm trying to do today is I'm trying to warn people you think you are followers of Christ, you think you're a disciple, but the reality is so many people are more just deciders. They're not on mission with God. They're not doing what God's calling us and commanding us to do, to come into relationship and follow Him. No, we just want to ask for forgiveness and go along our merry way and do what we want. And I'm trying to warn you before it is too late. So go back to the sinner's prayer and the I do marriage stuff. I mean, think about this. Can you be unfaithful, have an affair, or ignore the desires of your spouse in any way, shape, or form, and still claim that you're fulfilling your wedding vows? No! You cannot have an affair and say that you are fulfilling your wedding vows. You cannot ignore your spouse's desires over and over and over. Can I tell you, in many marriages that we are hearing, that we've heard over the years, it's somehow along the way, sexual intimacy is gone because one of them just doesn't want to do it or whatever anymore. And all of a sudden you have the other one that's just, I don't know what to do. And yet we say we still are honoring our wedding vows? No, when you said I do and then you don't, that's not doing your wedding vows. When you say a prayer and ask God to forgive you, but then you just keep going right on doing that same stuff and not following Him, you're not in a relationship. We got to be honest about these things. We got to realize these things. See, it's not enough to simply be a decider. Jesus wants disciples. It's not enough to just be a decider. Jesus wants disciples. You know what the reality is? If Jesus just wanted deciders, then the Great Commission verse in the Bible would be totally different. In fact, I reworded it as if Jesus wanted deciders. Here's probably how it would have read if Jesus was only wanting deciders, not disciples. It would have said in Matthew 28, therefore, go and make deciders, not disciples, go and make deciders of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Sounds good, okay. And teaching them that obeying everything I have commanded you is optional. And surely this fire insurance policy will remain in force always, even to the very end of the age. Do you see how that Great Commission verse is totally changed? See, Jesus didn't say that. He wants disciples. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to follow His commands and to reach the lost people. That is what we are about. And that's what God wants for you and I. Can I tell you something really? Listen. If you're a regular C3er, I've shared this in the past before, but I'm going to share it real quick again. I grew up in church. When I grew up in church, I never heard, at least not that I can remember, I never heard that being in church and being a follower of Jesus Christ and being a Christian, I never heard that I was supposed to be part of the mission of Jesus Christ. I never heard that before. And here I was as a kid and a teenager and a young adult, never hearing that. But can I just tell you, I realize now That is the reason God has put me on the planet. I am on this planet for a purpose and for a reason. I'm just not taking up space and time and air. God put me on this planet, yes, to have a life, yes, to get married, yes, to have a family, yes, to have a job, yes, all this other stuff, normal stuff that everybody else does. But can I tell you, he also put me, and he also put you on this planet for a person and a reason. So that you and I can have an overarching theme of our life. Yes, we're going to have jobs, we're going to have kids, we're going to have grandkids, we're going to get married, all the stuff of life. But the overarching thing truly of our life is to be on mission with Jesus Christ. Are you there? Are you part of that? You see, sometimes we've never heard this before in church. That my life isn't just to have a good life and be a good husband and a good father or mother. Those things are good. But our overarching thing is we are to be part of the mission of Jesus Christ. To do what he did, to love people, to tell the truth with truth and grace. And to share about what Jesus has done for you and for me. So that other people can know, so that other people can have an opportunity to come into relationship with Jesus Christ and have eternity in heaven. Not just believing, the devil believes, but actually having this relationship. See, a lot of times, here's what we do. We come to the point to where we say, I want him to be savior of my soul, but I don't want him to be Lord of my life. You can't have it both ways. If he's savior of your soul, then he's the Lord of your life also now. But see, we just want him to be savior of your soul when we die. Lord of my life, I want to be Lord of my life. I want to do what I want in this life. And he's going, no. I'm Lord of your life now, and then later savior of your soul. But if I'm not Lord of your life now, then I am not savior of your soul when you die. We've got to understand this. We've got to realize we are put on this planet for a purpose and for a reason. Do you know what's interesting is Jesus talked a lot about this. Jesus talked a lot about the church and about the mission and about reaching the people and helping people to come to know Jesus Christ. And he talked about this so much, the kingdom of God, over and over. Look in the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll see him talking over and over and over again. But here's the thing. What happened to Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God coming now on earth as it is in heaven? What happened with that? Or what happened to the mission? What happened to the mission of the Christ to transform society, to make disciples of all nations and love our neighbors and care for the poor? What happened with that? What happened there? And what about Jesus' statement that his church would storm the gates of hell? What about that? What happened, honestly, basically bringing it down, what happened to the revolution? You know what happened to the revolution? We surrendered. We waved the white flag. We just think, well, church is a place before the pandemic where we would just come to church and we'd sing some songs, we'd hear a message, we'd go eat lunch, and we'd just do life the way we did before. Can I tell you that you're just a believer of Jesus? Satan's that way. But Jesus doesn't want you to be a believer. Or excuse me, he doesn't want you to just believe. He wants you to be a disciple. That is what he's came for. That is what it's about. Coming into relationship with him and being actually a disciple. See, let me give you an example. If you were to say, I want to join the army. Okay, and you were recruited and you got into the army, right? And then all of a sudden you have a commanding officer and the commanding officer is giving you commands and you are not following or doing any of the commands. Can I tell you, you are not going to be in the army for very long. And yet the same thing is with Jesus Christ. He calls you to be on mission with him. He calls you to be a disciple, but so many, I know it's not you, it's those others people. So many are just deciders. And I'm going to tell you, just like if you're not listening to your commander, you're going to be out of the army. If you are not following our commander, Jesus Christ, You're not in his army. You're not on his mission. I know, listen, I know this is a tough, I know today's topic is tough. It's hard to understand, but we've got to realize this. We've got to understand what is truth, because I'm telling you, according to the scripture we read earlier, there are going to be people on the day of judgment day are going to hear, "Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. We never had a relationship." I do not want you to hear that. See, become a disciple of Jesus is with a decision, but it must be first followed by a new way of living under God's authority, God's truth, and God's values. It's not under your authority, truth, and values. It's under God's authority, truth, and value. This is what we do. We start with a decision, but it doesn't end there. We continue it on. We continue it on by having a new way of living. Wow. What's interesting is this. What's interesting is all of, from the beginning of time, after God created everything, created the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect, everything was beautiful, and then he made us. And once he made us, it was shortly after he made man and woman that all of a sudden sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, all of a sudden, everything came down. All of a sudden, all of eternity, all of the world, everything, just because of sin, everything changed. And what you see from the Garden of Eden forward, you will see through the Old Testament multiple times, God is trying to re-engage the relationship, trying to bringing people back into relationship with God. And over and over and over and over again, multiple times, you read it and you see in the Old Testament how God tried to reach out, but it never worked because it was all on man. And then we get to the New Testament and we see that God's going, they can't do it. And so he sent his son Jesus to come and do a search and rescue, and do what only he could do. When he came to die, to pay the penalty for your sin and mine, so that we can finally be forgiven by God. Have you accepted that? Not just believe in God. Have you actually accepted that? Ask God for forgiveness, but that's not the end. That's the beginning. And then begin to follow him. See, this is what he has done for each of us. You see, it tells us in Romans 5, 6, it says this. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Can I tell you who the ungodly is? It's you. And it's me. Jesus came to die for you and me so we could have forgiveness and a relationship and be part of his mission to reach and help other people. You see, all the time in the Old Testament is all up to man and they just keep failing and they couldn't do it. But all of a sudden, we see this. All previous attempts at reconciliation didn't work because they relied on man's efforts. This time it would succeed because of three things. One of the things is this. God offered a full pardon. Now listen to this. God offered a full pardon for our sins and substituted his son to pay our penalty. That's what he did. Full pardon, and his son would take the hit so we wouldn't have to. Second thing we see is that Jesus modeled how we could enter his kingdom and live differently. Why? Because he modeled it for us. We can look in scripture and see what he did, what he said, how he did things, and we can learn and apply those things as well. But here's the third reason. God's spirit would now dwell in us, giving us the power to live this way. God's spirit would now dwell in us. Now, I want you to understand this, because before this, in the first half of the Bible, which is the Old Testament, what you would see is this, is you would see that God's presence was in what was called the Ark of the Covenant. And it was like this box. If you ever seen the Indiana Jones movie, that was it. And then what they would do is they'd take it wherever they go. And then when they stopped, they would put it behind this curtain. And when nobody could go back there. And so it's God's presence kind of just with them, but not with them, but kind of just in this one room. Then you get to the New Testament. Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus dies on the cross. And what's interesting is as Jesus is dying, we read this in Luke 23. It says this, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, what is this curtain? This is what's called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And there was this huge curtain in front that was from floor to ceiling, and it was thick, it's inches thick. And at the moment that Jesus is dying, all of a sudden, this thing tore. The curtain of the temple was torn in two, meaning basically, now God's presence isn't just by himself over here. He's now with the people. Jesus called out a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. So at the moment when, as he was dying, the curtain torn. And God is saying, now my spirit will be within you. You know what? The Ark of the Covenant, that is where God's presence rested in the Old Testament. Can I tell you where God's presence is now? We are the Ark of the Covenant. Because God's Holy Spirit takes up residence within us when we truly come into real, not just say I'm sorry and then keep doing those things, but all of a sudden we come into relationship with him. That, it changes everything. We begin to follow him and do what he's called us to do. Now, our bodies is where the Holy Spirit lives. We are the Ark of the Covenant, so to speak. So, gospel means good news. And it means good news to everybody. Everybody. We can't just pick and choose what we like and what we want to do and not want to do. That is not what the gospel is at. We can't say, I want Jesus to be Savior of my soul, but not Lord of my life. We can't pick and choose. When we say yes to forgiveness, that means we're also saying yes to following him and being part of his mission. So today, as I wrap up, I want to ask you this question, and I want you to really think about it and answer it within yourself. Are you a decider? Or are you a disciple? Are you a decider? Or are you a disciple? Let's pray. Father, right now we pause. And Lord, for those that are on this live stream right now that have never come into relationship with you, never believed you, nothing, but today they found us and they're listening to this message and something's clicking with them. God, I pray for those right now that they would come into this relationship. They would ask for the forgiveness of their sins. They would ask for this relationship with you. Father, it's not, as we talked about earlier, it's not just about asking for forgiveness and then doing whatever we want and having fire assurance so we don't go to hell. That is not it. When we ask for forgiveness, that is just the starting line. That's not the end. So, Father, I pray for those that are making that decision right now, I pray that you would help them to realize that this is just the beginning of a new journey and a new relationship and a new life with you, God. And I thank you for those that are making that decision today. Father, there are people right now in the sound of my voice that are online watching this. And they're thinking about the question I asked. They're going, I don't know, am I a decider or am I a disciple? They believe that you exist. They've asked for forgiveness in the past, but the reality is probably many people haven't done anything about your commands and following you and being on mission with you. And Father, we need to get serious because you have put each and every one of us on this planet for a purpose and a reason, and that purpose and the reason is to be part of your mission. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help those that are not sure if they're truly disciples, but maybe they're thinking they're deciders. I pray that you would help them to realize that, God, you give us a new opportunity. We maybe have failed in the past, but we draw a line in the sand and say, from this day forward, I am a disciple. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to be on mission with you. So, Father, I thank you for those that are saying that right now. And we celebrate that you always give us a second chance. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, real quick, if you said that prayer today and you said yes to Jesus about forgiveness and being part of his mission, would you do me a favor? Would you text the word Jesus to the number on the screen? And then what you're going to do is this Monday through Friday, I'm going to be sending out to you about a 3-minute video Monday through Friday to help you understand what your decision is and how you can begin to grow in your relationship with God. I am so glad you are here today.